Well, if you've been obviously paying attention and watching our weather lately and the news stories, we are clearly in a drought all across the country, pretty significant drought. Drought maps of the country, I looked some up last week, and they show individual states ranging from moderate to severe. Ohio, for the most places, in the severe state, and maybe even moving past that to extreme. And the long-range predictions are not favorable. Forecasts are predicting this drought could last through the fall. So it is pretty serious. And the drought is covering the widest area of the country since 1956. And records show that in Ohio, you have to go all the way back to 1963 to reach the current conditions in our state. So it's rather significant. And produce, of course, from trees and soy are a big concern. They're suffering considerably. And I've noticed in the last week or so, if you drive on the highways where they have these large digital signs that say, you know, 271 so many minutes or whatever, they tell you the traffic conditions, they now are putting signs up saying, high fire risk, do not toss lit cigarettes out the window. So it really is very, very serious. And it's reported that we need, depending on who you listen to make up for this drought, we need over a foot of rain. So we were glad to get some rain Friday, but it was very minimal compared to over a foot that we would need, which is significant. And I think it's interesting how we take our seasons, our normal seasons, for granted until something like this happens. When something like this happens, we're quickly reminded of how important cyclical weather is, that the weather, seed time, and harvest are very important. And God's creation has a plan and a purpose that follows a natural normal order until, of course, it's disrupted and things change quickly. When we look at the beautiful green vegetation that we do have in spite of the drought, we're reminded of that order and we think of it. And even we look at the trees that bring the shade and even think of the largest tree, the California redwoods, or on and on. All these things, when you think of all this great beauty, it all began really in a very small way. It began as a seed. And that seed, of course, planted and nurtured, became a tree. And a tree, interesting, is a tree came from a seed that came from a tree that came from a seed. So you see this process of God's plan in the seeds and the growing of it in this natural order that's important. And God's economy is just kind of the way it works. Start out as a seed and grow to its potential as long as it's nurtured, as long as it's watered, and, of course, as long as there is sunlight. There is this perfect plan of God's in it. And when we look at, again, as a reference, God's beautiful trees that we love and enjoy the shade from and just the beauty of it, it took the large ones quite a while to get that way. They went from that little seed that fell to the ground or somebody planted to a large tree. And it didn't happen overnight. And maybe that's where we struggle the most, waiting for the seed to produce. We want instant harvest. We want to have a harvest now, and as you know, as Americans and in our instant society, we don't like this whole process of taking so much time. And really, Scripture has a lot to say about seeds. When you think of seed, there's so many places you go in the Word. Seed time and harvest is extremely important. Jesus had a parable about seeds. I mean, the Word has a lot to say, and it's in fact a biblical principle, seeds. But there's a seed principle that I'm going to speak about today that you may not immediately recognize it, but there is a seed principle that has a great potential to impact all of us, really. And so look at this morning. We find it really in the very beginning of the Bible, in the very first book of the Bible, and we'll pick this up in Genesis 17, starting in verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Notice he's telling him right here, I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Well, that's really a rich section of Scripture, and we see several things happening here, but not the least of, in the very few short verses, we see Abram going from Abram to Abraham. Why did he change his name? We all know and recognize Abraham. Actually, the New Testament recognizes Abraham in several places in a very positive light. And so we hear Abraham, and we get that. And if I was to talk to you this morning about Abram, you'd probably think for a minute, who's Abram? Other than just reading the Scripture. We know Abraham, but who is Abram? We don't really think about that. And yet 17:1 informs us that Abraham was Abram first for 99 years. Think about that. For 99 years, all of his friends, his associates, his community, everybody knew him as Abram. That's a long time. If you would talk to his neighbors and you called him Abraham, they'd probably wonder who you were talking about. Oh, you mean Abram. 99 years. And you would think, after 99 years, why change his name now? I mean, it seemed like it worked okay up until then. He was Abram. And yet, understand that God thought it was important, very important, even necessary. And really, if you study the life of Abram, up until this point, for the most part, he really was not living up to his God-promised potential. And that's significant. You know, as a child of God, you have within you God-promised potential. You have a potential in you, and you have the seed of God's promises within you, and all that God hopes for you to be. We all believe and understand that God has a plan for each and every one of us, and part of our life, and hopefully a large part of our life, is working through developing that plan and growing in that plan and becoming the person that God wants us to be. And Abram, up till now, really had not produced and lived up to his God-promised potential. And at this point, I believe he had given up on fulfilling his God-given potential. As Abram, he was, if you will, the seed, the promise of all he was supposed to become. As long as he stayed Abram, it would seem, he was stuck in Abram mode. He was stuck in that seed position. And was, if you would, in a drought, as if he was in a drought spiritually. It's really where he was at when you study his life. And if a seed is not planted and nurtured, it remains a seed. I mean, we go out and buy seeds, and you can have seeds, and, you know, that seed has all this promise and potential, but it'll always remain a seed until it's planted and then, of course, nurtured. And God wanted more for Abraham than to just remain a seed. He wanted him to fulfill his potential, not only for him, but for the generations to come, as you see this plan of God unfold through this Scripture. And so as we move through this message this morning, ask yourself the real question of the day. Where are you at today? Are you fulfilling your God-promised potential, or are you still a seed? Or do you have seeds in your life of the promises of God, and maybe you're doing well in some areas, but you know that God is calling you to so much more than where you are right now? And where are you at in that process? Are you experiencing a drought spiritually, inhibiting your growth in God? And any of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we have gone or can go through droughts spiritually. I mean, I've had spiritual droughts, and you go through these periods of time where everything just seems dry. Ever been there? You know, you just feel like God's not in your life, or you know he's there, but where's he at and what's happening? And you just don't have that passion and that hunger for the things of God. And there's some things we can do to change that. Because I can tell you, that's not a good place to be. That's not where God wants us. If you are a child of God, then God's promises belong to you. And are these promises sprouting, growing, producing fruit? Or are they just dormant? Are they in the seed process? And God does not want you stuck in your Abram mode. He doesn't want you there. He wants you out of that seed mode and growing and producing in your potential. Even Jesus, when speaking of his death and resurrection, spoke about seed potential. He said, we read in John 12:24 and following, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. Pretty much what I just said. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it
for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. In the original language here, when this is translated a grain of wheat, some translated kernel, some translated a corn of wheat, or a corn rather, the original language is accurately translated seed. That's what it means. And he goes on to do that and mentions that. Unless the seed is planted, unless it falls to the ground. And so we go back to saying, why did God change Abram's name? And I think it was to get him out of the seed mode, full of God's potential, yet stuck, to get him the faith mode, growing in God's promises and his potentials. For 99 years, I said he was Abram. Now, Abram means the father is exalted. And he was, in reality, he was very significant. He had a fair amount of wealth, and he was recognized in his community. So as Abram, you know, in his own personal life, he looked at himself, he was doing okay. But Abraham means the father of a multitude of nations. God began to get him to shift from seeing about what about's going on with him in his life to what God has planned for him and God's plans instead of Abram's plans. It wasn't about Abram. It was about God desired to produce in him and accomplish in him for God. It wasn't about Abraham. It's about what God wanted. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about what God desires to accomplish in our lives. And when you think about that and you wonder, you know, we all do the same thing. I go through my life and, you know, we have our personal desires and our things we want to accomplish and the things we want to do within our lives and our family. But we can easily lose sight of the fact that God has a plan for you and for me. And there was a potential he is calling each of us to. And as I said earlier, planted that seed within you. And are we growing and moving at least, nurturing and watering that God-given potential, what he called for us? As I said, it's about what God wants to accomplish in you, the seed of the promise he has placed there. And the good news is this, it's not too late. Abraham was 99 years old, and Sarai, before she was Sarah, was 90. No spring chicken. In fact, I laugh when Abraham's kind of talking with God later on in the scriptures, and he talks about his wife, and, you know, he kind of says, she's kind of getting up there, Lord, you know. He was choosing his words carefully, I think, but, I mean, really? He was 99 and Sarai was 90. Why did he change his name from Abram to Abraham? I believe because he was stuck in that seed mode. God wanted to stir him up. And why did he get stuck? Most likely the same way you and I get stuck. He stopped saying what God had promised him, stopped saying and confessing and believing and moving forward in faith for the things that God had told him. And he stopped reminding himself about God's promises. I think you and I, when we get in this spiritual drought or whatever it may be, or whether we're not even in a drought maybe, but we're just not moving where God wants us to, or we're ignoring things in our life that he's calling us to, it's because we're not focusing on the promises that God has given us. For about 24 years, when we looked at 17 earlier, verse 1, prior to that, for about 24 years now, Abram and Sarai had lived knowing what God had said about their son, their promised son. When we saw that in 17:1, and God told him he was changing his name to Abram, from Abram to Abraham, 24 years previously, God had said, I'm bringing you a son, and I'll make you a father of nations. A son who would come from a woman that was barren. 24 years. And I suspect by now they had given up. Maybe they were embarrassed, they stopped talking about it, and they stopped confessing God's promises over their lives. They stopped speaking and planting the seed of God's word over their lives, and as I said, they were in a drought spiritually. And why do I say that? What do I have to base that on? Because they did what you and I do so many times in our life, hopefully not exactly in this manner, but they decided to act for God. They brought Sarai's maid Hagar into the picture. Sarah's not getting pregnant. I got a good idea. Go get your handmaiden, and we'll get a son that way. And Ishmael was born through that whole process of taking God's promises into their own hands. Ishmael, of course, was the beginning of the Palestinian Arab. That's where the whole thing started. And around 10 years after God had first promised them a son, they decided it was to take matters into their own hands. Well, I don't know about you, but I can relate to that, because when I'm wanting something for God or expecting for something from God, 10 years is a long time to wait, isn't it? And so they got a little tired of it, and they got a little, you know, drought, spiritually drought in their life going on, and they get this idea, and Ishmael comes along, and they say, okay, this will be the promise of God, even though it caused great hardship from Sarah, whose idea it kind of was. I mean, it was a very interesting thing that happened. But impatience causes us to take matters in our own hands. Now, none of you have ever done that, right? We've never got so impatient that we took things in our own hands. I mean, maybe not this morning, but probably last week, we just do that. And when we do that, what we're saying is we are refusing to die to self. What Scripture tells us, to die to self, causing a mess, and we refuse to die to self, we stay in that seed mode. We are not moving in God's potential. We are moving in what we think is our potential. One day God brought Abram back to the practice that would help Abram fulfill God's promise in him. He changed his name. And you have to understand something. Every time Abraham spoke his name, every time someone said his name, he was constantly reminded of God's promise to him. 99 years he'd been Abram. All of a sudden, he's Abraham. Whenever he said his name, he was confessing God's promise out loud. He changed his confession. And he could have stayed Abram. He'd worked for 99 years. He was comfortable with that name. He could have said, well, God, you know, God can call me Abraham, but, you know, you just call me Abram. Abe, that's okay. I mean, it worked okay because he was comfortable with that. And we get very comfortable in our seed mode, if you will. We're comfortable just, someday God's going to do this in my life. Someday I'm going to answer God's call. Someday I'm going to know Christ. Or someday I'm going to move in the things of God. Or someday, that's the seed mode. That's just promise potential without planting and watering and nourishing it. And staying in the seed mode, there's no pressure to produce. It won't produce until it falls to the ground and dies to self, if you will. No pressure to produce. Nothing much is expected of a seed in that position until it's planted. And then we expect something. He could have stayed Abram, and yet he chose to obey God. He chose to confess God's word to himself. He chose to make it really a daily habit. Scripture doesn't tell us this, but I suspect if he was walking down the street after that and someone said, hey, Abram, and he said, no, please call me Abraham, because his life began to change and promises began to become fruitful in his life. Now he daily spoke his faith, daily confessed the promises of God in his life. Instead of being stuck in the seed mode, he started planting seeds of faith in his life. Isn't that what we're supposed to do on a daily basis, is plant these seeds of faith and then nurture them with God's word, nurture them with prayer, water them with faith, if you will. But he had to be willing to change, had to be willing to nurture his faith. I said 24 years had passed before God first promised him. About 10 years later, they decided to bring Hagar into the picture. When God came back and changed his name, Ishmael was about 13 years old at this point. Abram had probably gotten used to seeing him as God's promised son. Even though things didn't seem to be happening after that, because he was only 13, he probably had this thing all figured out until God came along and shook him up. Did you ever have God come into your life and shake you up? That's not a bad thing. We may not like it at the moment, but it's because God cares. He has a plan for you and a purpose for you. And even when we're out of God's will, even when we've been out of his will for a long time, we can become complacent. We can become comfortable. We know maybe we're out of God's will. We start justifying. We start defending it. We got thinking, well, maybe it's okay, and it'll be. And we're really not following the promises of God. Ishmael was 13 years old. Where are you today? Are you complacent? Are you stuck in your Abram years? Have you submitted all of your life to God's will? Are you growing in God's will, or is your life stagnant? Do you have areas of your life that are stagnant, places in your life that you need to be believing God for and moving in God's life? Complacency is easy. Change is difficult. And so we say, well, I'm stirred. I, I don't want to stay here. I want to move forward in God. And I know there's things I should be doing, and how do I change? Jesus reminded us earlier, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains a seed. And it's interesting, he spoke that about his crucifixion. By dying and his resurrection, he produced in you and I new life. Jesus said, unless I die, things will not be changed. And in reality, that's what he did. He died, he was resurrected, and because of the finished work on the cross, you and I have new life within us. A seed dies to grow. And what's true in the natural world is true in the spiritual world as well. Jesus said so. And it's when we die to self, die to these selfish desires, our selfish ambitions, and begin to embrace God's will, we begin to live and to truly live in what God has promised for us. When we first accept Christ, when you're first saved, your new life begins. And that seed of new life needs watered and nurtured. You can acknowledge Christ as your Lord. You can acknowledge the finished work of Christ on the cross. But unless you nurture that, unless you do something with that, not much is going to happen. It's a biblical truth. It's a truth we need to move forward in. And some of you have been saved for years and years and years, and you maybe have done great things, but you're not doing so much right now, or you're kind of stagnant. I have never found a place in my walk where God is comfortable when I become stagnant. He just doesn't want that. He's constantly, continually drawing you and I to a deeper walk, to a more knowledge of who he is, to a closer relationship. And so we need to continually use the water of the Word of God, the light of the Son of God, to nurture our faith and the seed that God has planted there. We talked about the parable. Jesus had used the parable, the sower, and Jesus said the sower sows the Word. How's he sow the Word? How do we sow the Word? By speaking the word. In the parable, he said, some fell aside to the side and did not produce fruit. Some heard about the message of Christ, or some have heard and accepted it, but it just kind of withered away, and he uses this whole parable, and he said, yet some produced fruit and grew. Some 30-fold, 60-fold, some 100-fold. I don't know where you're at. I'm not sure where I'm at right now, but I don't think I've been to the 100-fold yet. There's a life-producing situation in our lives that God is calling us to on a continual basis. It's a biblical principle. We need to start speaking God's word in our life. Abraham did. God said, it's been 24 years and I need to change your name. I need to change your focus from Abram, the father is exalted, to Abraham, to what I'm calling you to. The father of a multitude of nations. I need to change your perspective. I need you to get thinking about me and confessing my promises, because that's how it works biblically. Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And there's a truth in that. We can have faith in all sorts of stuff, but if we want to have true faith, biblical faith, it starts by hearing, but not just hearing whatever, some new age spiritual mumbo jumbo, what sounds nice, tickling of the ears. It's by hearing what? God's word. It's by absorbing his word, embracing his word in our life, and saying, that word now becomes a standard in my life. God's word is truth. It's a light into my path, a lamp into my feet. It's the truth of the word of God that becomes significant, and I can take everything about my life, hear the word of God, speak the word of God, listen to the word of God, absorb the word of God, and let that become my light, direction, and standard. Proverbs 18:21. Really, a significant, powerful verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I mean, what greater contrast is that? Death and life are in the power of your tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Really, what's that scripture saying to you? What's it saying to me? Those things that you speak, you will eat the fruit, and they will produce what you're speaking. And you're either speaking death or speaking life. We get so caught up in the things we're saying, and we don't even think about it, and we forget that there's so much power that God has given us in the spoken word. How did God create the worlds? He spoke them into existence. And we don't understand that a whole lot. I mean, we know it to be a biblical truth, but, you know, in our daily life, when we want to produce something, we have to work, we have to do something, and we lose sight of the fact that God said, I have given you so much power by speaking the word of God. And you can either speak all the junk you hear in the world and all this nonsense. You can absorb your mind with all the stuff you see in TV and radio and other people and individuals. Or you can fill your heart with the truth of the Word of God. And choose this day, death and life, on the power of the tongue. What are you speaking? Are you stuck in the seed mode? Are you in your Abram years not fulfilling God's potential for you? It's never too late. As long as you have breath left within you, you can submit to the will of God. You can start speaking those things of God. And so really it comes down to ourselves saying, where am I at and what am I speaking? Am I saying what others have said about me? Am I listening to what other people have said about me and I begin to speak those things? We knew an individual that since he was just a child, young, 3-4 years old, his father told him, he'll never be any good. He's a dummy. He'll never amount to anything. He's nothing but trouble. And this person now, a man, has never amounted to anything, has been in trouble all his life. Because that's all he ever heard and that's all he ever speaks. That's all he sees himself as what somebody unfortunately spoke into him. What are you saying? What others have said about you? Is that what you've heard? Maybe you're agreeing with what an employer has said about you at one time. Maybe something a parent said to you or stuck with you, or maybe your mate has said something. Maybe a teacher said something years ago and it just stuck with you and you see yourself like that. And you begin confessing you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to get this right. You may not say it out loud, but you say it to yourself. And at times I've heard others say it out loud. What are you saying? What are you, death and life are the power of the tongue. What are you speaking in your life? What are you saying about your relationships? What are you saying about your marriage or your mate or your children or your grandchildren? The things that frustrate us, and if we know anything, relationships frustrate us. Amen? That's just a reality. Relationships can be a challenge, and yet in a God-given promise of truth, relationships are most the wonderful thing God has given us. But they frustrate us, and if we're not careful, we begin saying things that aren't life, but death. What are we speaking over our children, our grandchildren, our mates, our marriage, our finances, whatever it may be? And you know what the funny thing is? Did you ever notice God doesn't say those things about you? God never says that junk we hear from other people. He says when you know Jesus, you're his child. And even when you've messed up, there may be some correction coming along the way, but he doesn't speak the things we speak. For us, when somebody messes up, it's like, you're pathetic. How could you be so stupid? What were you thinking? None of you have ever said that, right? What were you thinking? How could you do that? When Abram was messing up, when Abram took things into his own hands, God said, I'm changing your name. I'm changing your confession. What are we confessing? What are we saying about the important people in our lives and our own personal lives? Maybe you find yourself in a spiritual drought this morning. It's time to get out of the seed mode. It's time to start believing God. It's time to say, Lord, I don't want to stay stuck in my Abram years. I want to produce what you want to produce in me. Invite the worship team to come forward. In the book of Romans, speaking of Abraham, speaking of this time in his life, the scripture said, God calls those things that did not exist as though they did. God says those things that be not as if they were. We learn a valuable lesson here. We speak the promises of God. Nurture and water that seed of faith. It doesn't mean that we speak nonsense. We speak the promise of God. It doesn't mean that we get in denial. We understand what's happening in our life in a very real way. We acknowledge that, but we acknowledge the power of God in our life, and we speak those things that be not as though they were. We start speaking the promise of faith. We start speaking that promise of God in our life, that he will come along and move on our behalf, and we will accomplish what God desires for each of us in our own personal life. Let's stand and worship our God this morning.
Thank you, Pastor.